You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill League podcast. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries with you to preview the best of the action in the mid-festive period. It's the 29th of December as we speak. There's games tonight, there's games on the 30th and the 31st of December. Then we have a day's break, and then there's a full programme on the 2nd of January as well. So plenty of football to get our teeth stuck into. We're just going to be focusing on those earlier games on this edition of the podcast. Gav Pushrovsky and Al Ross will be along with the best of League One and League Two shortly as well. Hello, Pete.
Hello.
Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Did you have a good one?
I had a lovely Christmas, actually.
You were off, weren't you, swanning around?
I was off. It's my second day back today, and I've had a lovely break. I've got a bit of a cold, if we're being hypercritical. But otherwise, happy as Larry, whoever he is.
Good, no, I'm delighted to hear it. Do you know, I didn't have a cold or anything until you said you had a cold, and all of a sudden my nose feels slightly blocked up and my back and my throat's just wobbling, so don't quite know what's happened there.
That's, no, I don't either, but... Hey, we've got some good football to look forward to, though.
Oh, this period, I'm sorry. Do you know what? I know all the stuff about winter break has got lots of lovely logic behind it. You know, we'll rest our players more before a major tournament, etc., etc., but let's get a couple of things straight, obviously, you know. This period of time is just the best football time.
I was really
gutted. And the best betting time as well.
The run-up to Christmas was... There just wasn't enough football. I think... Did we miss a fixture that normally would have? I seem to think there used to be games on the 22nd, maybe 23rd, then Boxing Day, then 28th, and then New Year's Day.
I don't know, actually.
But I think just because Christmas fell on a Sunday, it's...
Yeah.
They had a little bit of a break, actually, coming into this, so... in terms of the Championship, Brighton are now the league leaders, having overtaken Newcastle. They slipped up at home to Sheffield Wednesday on Boxing Day, while Brighton made no mistake against QPR a day later. There were also wins for basically anybody else who's been doing okay. Reading, Huddersfield, Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday, Derby, Fulham, Barnsley and Villa, all winners last time. Of the bottom half of the table, only Wolves and Rotherham managed to win, and they were both against sides who were down there as well. So it was a good punting day.
It was a great punting day. I had a ball, to be absolutely honest with you. Newcastle let me down on one of my ACCAs, but obviously with Hill's ACCA 5 insurance, I've got a free bet, so that would be nice to have a little play with for this week's betting. But I've got to be honest, Alex, that 19-10 on Reading, it was my nap of the week, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. I didn't understand that 19-10. Now, we'll talk about this. I'll talk about this very, very soon, because Reading are an intriguing price again this week. But do you know the 6-1 for promotion? Now, I think they have a squad that might not be, deep enough to get them over the line. But the fact is, with their form, where they are in the league, 6-1 for promotion? You've got to consider that, haven't you?
Well, I think when you look at the teams around them, so Huddersfield, Leeds, mainly those two, to be honest. You've got sides that aren't quite used to being up there, or not in recent years anyway. Sheffield Wednesday, Derby just tucked in behind. They've sort of been there, done that. Not necessarily been successful in the playoffs, as we saw last year. But, I think Reading are still underestimated massively, considering we are now exactly halfway through the season.
And
for all that people have made a big fuss about how good Huddersfield have been, and they have been, and how good Leeds have been recently, again, they have been, Reading have kind of just gone under the radar a little bit, haven't they?
Completely. I mean, the fact that Leeds are a shorter price for promotion than Reading, the fact that Huddersfield, let's be fair, Huddersfield haven't got any experience of getting themselves as a club, as a fan base, over the line into the Premier League, whereas, of course, we know that Reading have done that several times. Huddersfield are a shorter price than Reading. It's almost like, it's almost like Reading created some kind of childhood trauma for one of the traders, and now they refuse to respect or acknowledge them. But the fact is that pricing is wrong. Let's be fair, that that is incorrectly priced, and that is the best bit about it, because you and I and anyone else, my girlfriend, my cats, anyone, we could have a crack at that 6-1. And the fact of the matter is, it's good value with the way that Reading are going right now. It's better value than Huddersfield. It's better value than arguably Leeds, who are at the moment playing superbly. It's just ridiculous.
Mm. Are your cats over 18, by the way?
They are over 18 in cat years, yeah.
Okay, good. Just encouraging responsible.
No.
Okay, good.
So that's a good point.
Right, we've got two televised games to focus on before Pete talks about the rest of the Championship. And the first game is coming up this evening as we record this. It's Villa against Leeds. Villa are 23-20. The draw 21-10, and Leeds are 3-1. Given that we've just spoken about how well Leeds are doing, surprising to see them at such a big price here against a Villa side that have been much better under Steve Bruce, but still not completely perfect. They beat Burton on Boxing Day with a fairly late Ross McCormack winner. But come up against a Leeds side who were fantastic at Preston on Boxing Day, really are riding the crest of a wave at the minute, and certainly don't deserve, in my opinion, to be quite as big as 3-1 here. What do you think?
I agree. I think Villa should be favourites. I think that's correct, because don't forget, Aston Villa are unbeaten at home this season. A lot of draws in there, but they are unbeaten at home. I agree completely. I think Leeds should be second fives in terms of an outright winner here, but 3-1 is a bit big. You know, five back-to-back home wins for Villa as well, but look at the teams they've beaten, with all due respect. Fulham, great at home, not magic on the road. Blackburn, meh. Cardiff, meh. Wigan, meh. Burton, meh. You know, those teams aren't going to be the teams that are going to cause Villa a problem.
Mm.
Leeds are. Leeds really, really are. Because look at them away from home this season. They had that atrocious opening game against QPR where they were just garbage. There's just no argument. And they lost to Forest. They lost to Bristol City. But since then, just Derby and Brighton. That's not too bad.
Mm.
Now, they've been to some teams you'd expect them to beat, really. I mean, Wolves, Rotherham. But then they went to Norwich, and I know that Norwich were in an awful form, but that was at the kind of the beginning of that drop for Norwich and Alex Neil. They won 3-2, last-minute winner, but it was an absolute corker. And then they went to Preston. Now, I know Preston have got problems at the moment. Jermaine Beckford can't stop getting sent off, for example. But 4-1 at Deepdale, that is an impressive result. And an impressive performance, especially when you consider their main striker wasn't even involved in that game, was he?
Mm.
So actually, it's their form is unbelievably impressive. Now, the best bet of this game for me, barring none, is the overs on the goals. So bear in mind, you know these sides quite well, Alex. Three of the last five Villa games have landed your overs at home, that is. Leeds away from home, three of their last five. What would you price overs at?
Personally, probably about 4-6.
Right, well, it's 13-10.
Wow.
Now, the thing you've got to temper that with, because when I'm putting together an argument, I always like, because it's people's money, I always like to find the other angle of it. And the fact is that it's landed just once in the last five general Villa games.
Mm.
It didn't land when these two met a couple of weeks ago at Elland Road, and it's landed in just one of the last five Leeds games. However, over the Christmas period, we know things get a little looser, don't they? You know, it's hard to keep your discipline when you're shattered. And also, you know, those form lines out there, three of the last five at home for Villa, three of the last five away for Leeds. At 13-10, I am prepared to take that risk.
Mm.
I am prepared to take that risk. I mean, I was absolutely stunned by that price. I really was. 13-10. I mean, for those who like an over 1.5 acca, and I know there's a lot of people out there, 4-7. It was 4-7 last night on the over 1.5. That is not bad.
No, not at all.
You know, so I was very, very intrigued by that. In terms of the enhanced odds, if you think that Villa are going to win, then Codger to score and Villa to win up to 5-2 from 2-1. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
If you think a team's going to win, I think overs. So Villa on both teams, 9-2, for example. Leeds on both teams, 7-1. But, you know, those are good enhanced odds offers depending on what your angle is. I like Kamar Roof. Yes, he's not scored loads of goals, but he got his first for the club, of course, against Villa in that 2-0 victory. And, of course, has scored last time out. So Kamar Roof, I think, is quite a good price at 100-30, albeit Chris Wood might be back, in which case 9-5 is interesting for the Kiwi. But I, in the end, with an outright, I've gone with Leeds.
Mm. Certainly a big price, aren't
they? It's a big price, and it feels like there's some real kind of momentum. I mean, for those listeners who don't know, I mean, neither of us are Leeds fans, Alex, but we live in Leeds. I've lived here for a decade now. Mm. You've lived here for however long you've lived here?
7 years, yeah.
7 years, right. So between us, we've got 17 years of being surrounded by Leeds fans, which is, excuse me, not always been the most pleasurable. I've got to say, understandably, after the nonsense that's been going on at the club, understandably. But right now, Leeds fans are absolutely buzzing. People that you or I know who would normally be grumpy beyond all belief are feeling great. And the feeling that can be felt is palpable in this city, I think. Mm. And right now, Leeds are on an absolute roll. And Villa, as much as they're brilliant at home, and they are, they still aren't convincing me. I mean, a 1-0 win over QPR, they weren't great in that game. They didn't deserve to win that game, I thought. Probably a draw would have been fair, but Kodjia gets the job done. Fair enough. You know, against Burton, they take the lead. Ward equalises. McCormack gets them over the line. But I'm just not quite sold yet on Villa. I think they're improving massively because under Steve Bruce, you will in this division. But in the end, I went for Leeds. I went for Leeds. And to be honest, the draw no bet Leeds at 6-4.
Okay. And if you are fancying a player back at his old club, better.
Yeah,
Ross McCormack's
9-4
any time, which could be quite big for someone as prolific as he is. And he did notch, as we said earlier, on Boxing Day. The other televised game is Brentford against Norwich. This one on New Year's Eve at 5:30. The betting looks like this. Brentford are 8-5. The draw 23-10. Norwich are 17-10. Brentford currently in 14th. Norwich in 12th. Both will harbour hopes of moving up the table, but for Norwich, it's been a pretty cataclysmic couple of months. If we go back to the end of September, that 4-3 defeat at Newcastle was followed by two wins against Wolves and Rotherham. And since then, just two more wins. Now, granted, one of those was against Brentford, and it was 5-0. They also beat Aston Villa. But apart from that, they've been really, really poor, Norwich. Fans are beginning to turn on Alex Neil. They come up against the Brentford side, who aren't in fantastic form themselves. They've picked up a little bit in recent weeks with wins against Burton and Bristol City off the back of that hammering at Norwich. But certainly an intriguing one. Personally, I just can't back Norwich at the minute, and certainly not away from home. But I'm not that crazy about Brentford right now either, to be honest, Pete.
No, and I think that's very, very fair. I think that's very, very fair and probably a better summation than I could have given. But let's just put this in context a little bit about Brentford. So they've lost just three times at home since the 19th of March. That you see, I was the same as you. I was thinking, no, I can't be doing that. Barnsley beat them at home, Fulham beat them at home, Birmingham beat them at home. You know, their recent turnaround in form, they've taken 4 points from the last two at Griffin Park, but Burton and then a draw with Cardiff that, by all rights, I think they feel they should have done better in and had to save themselves twice in as well, don't forget. But only three home losses since March this of 2016.
Mm.
You know, you've got all of April, you've got the beginning of May, and then you've got all of this season up to this point, half of this season. See, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? For a team like Brentford, especially when you then quite rightly counteract it with the fact that Norwich away from home this season have been absolute gubbins.
Mm.
Two away wins at Forest and Wolves. Outside of that, it's not been going right. Obliterated at Brighton, beaten at QPR, Alex. You know, defeated at Derby is kind of fair enough. Losing at Barnsley, they were very comfortably beaten by Reading. I know that that game started with Kermagan opening the goals. I know that Norwich got back into it, and probably that red card killed them, didn't it? That Johnny Howson red card. Mm. But that's the other thing. Howson's missing. One of their best players is missing as well. The feeling around Norwich will be understandably at the moment toxic. Now, Alex Neil did an incredible job, and I don't think got the support he needed when the club went into the Premier League, is my personal belief. And I think he's a very, very good manager. And if he goes from Norwich, then there will be another club waiting to gobble him up within seconds. I would absolutely see him getting back into work before the end of this season, if this was to be his last game. But I think it might well be his last game, which is sad. But this is the thing. Brentford's home form is actually very, very decent, barring a bit of a blip sort of going through October and November. And Norwich's form is just absolutely just untouchable, isn't it? You can't be with that. Now, one other thing about this is Scott Hogan. Now, he's got 13 goals this season, hasn't he? He's being linked with pretty much most mid-range Premier League clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So, West Ham's and someone said Swansea, but whether or not he'd want to go there, I don't know. But anyway, the point is that a lot of people have been looking at him. Now, this is a chance on TV, don't forget, for him to try and possibly nail down an extra $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a week or get an extra slightly higher step Premier League club interested in him. You'd be amazed how often this happens. His agent this week, understandably, there's nothing wrong with this. His agent this week will be going, Scott, seriously, mate, this week.
Yeah.
Seriously, mate, this week. You know, 5-10 as well. Hogan to score and Brentford to win from 5-2 to 3-1 is interesting. Hogan anytime at even money is very interesting. I mean, Sully Kaikai, of course, who scored the brace against Norwich. Not Norwich. They're playing Norwich, aren't they? Who scored the brace against Cardiff, sorry. He's 14-5 anytime. But you've got to go at Hogan because he's the main goal-scoring threat. He's going to be trying to improve. He's going to be trying to impress on television. He's going to want people to look even more at him. And you know, these days, the argument I always hear against that is, well, look, they're getting scoured every game. It doesn't matter whether they're on TV, doesn't matter or not. But it kind of does, because if they can add to their own narrative with the public, then that gets, you know, that gets more interest in them from clubs. It's the story of it, and that's how it works. But can you be with Norwich, Alex? That's what it comes down to. And at the beginning of this, you said...
No.
And I agree. Mm. Brentford at 8-5.
Norwich certainly need to turn their season around if they are to harbour any hopes of getting back into the Premier League. Right, thank you very much, Pete. I'll hand back to you now for your thoughts on the Championship. Off the back of this, we will hear Gav Pushilovsky on League One and Al Ross in League Two. And we'll be back in the new year with the 2nd of January's game. So happy new year to you, Pete, and to the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely, everyone. Thanks very much for another wonderful year of betting-based action.
Absolutely. Right, over to you, Pete.
Right then, let's do this in chronological order, and we'll start with Reading against Fulham. 9-5 Reading, the draw 5-2, Fulham a 7-5. I thought I'd run this piece a little bit like a courtroom, because last week, quite frankly, the price on Reading was incredibly, incredibly brilliant, and I suppose in this kind of metaphor, it was guilty of being a great bet. And it turned out to be, of course, they beat Norwich 3-1, and it was all very, very simple indeed for Jaap Stam's men. This one's slightly more understandably priced, but when I say slightly, that really does mean just slightly, because Reading still shouldn't be second favourites to win a game at home against anyone in this league. That includes Brighton, that includes Newcastle, that includes basically every single player, team, manager that ply their trade at the moment in the Championship. 9-5 is frankly crazy, especially after it's technically 18-10, and you got 19-10 on Reading to win last time out at home. So, why the price on this occasion? Well, this one's slightly more understandable. Norwich were going through a horrible run of form, completely unbackable. At least Fulham have shown something. They've won 2 of their last 5 away from home. They, of course, obliterated Reading at Craven Cottage back in early December 5-0. So, this one makes slightly more sense. But again, only slightly. Because your money should undoubtedly be with Reading. Come, of course, the 30th of December. They've won 5 back-to-back home games. They've lost only once at home this season to Villa. And, of course, that was a last-minute Jordan Ayew penalty. Fulham, yes, have been winning games and looking decent at places like Brentford and Ipswich. But they lost at Brighton, another very good side. They lost at Villa. Let's be fair, apart from away from home, a very good side. They don't really win games at the league's best teams. And Reading are one of the league's best teams. And the traders at the moment, for some reason, don't seem to acknowledge that. Now, Gareth McCleary has 5 goals in 10 games. He's been in great goal-scoring form at the Medeski, where he's getting most of those. 15-8 any time for Gareth McCleary. You could look at Reading and both teams to score, of course. That's landed in the back-to-back last 3 home wins for Reading. And Fulham are a good side going forward. But I'm sorry, there is no way, shape or form in which Reading aren't phenomenal value at 9-5 at Fortress Medeski at the moment. The traders are playing chicken with you. For me, we just carry on being Marty McFly. Reading, an incredible 9-5 this weekend.
On the 31st, of course, New Year's Eve, more popularly known, I suppose, is Barnsley against Birmingham. Barnsley in the market at 13-10, the draw 12-5, Birmingham 11-5. So, why Barnsley? Pretty obvious to me, really. Admittedly, under Gianfranco Zola, Birmingham have been pretty unlucky twice. Lost, of course, in the last second against Brighton on TV, and lost, of course, from the penalty spot against Derby. The fact of the matter is, though, they are losing. And also the fact of the matter is, the confidence looks shot. Absolutely, utterly shot. Understandably, after what happened to Gary Rowett. Barnsley, though, 4 wins from 5, look absolutely flying, especially as they hit 3 past Birmingham when they met at St Andrews only a couple of weeks ago. Now, Sam Winnell has been in great form so far this season. He's got 7 goals in his last 10 games. He's 5-4 any time and scored a brace against Birmingham last time out. But this one's very short. This one's very simple. Right now, having seen their popular manager leave, losing back-to-back games, do you want to back Birmingham? I know I don't. Very short, very sweet, very simple. Barnsley at 13-10. Use your money to bet on that. And last up is Preston, who hosts Sheffield Wednesday. 17-10 Preston, the draw 21-10 Sheffield Wednesday at 17-10 as well. Now, we know Wednesday, we know away from home, they're not the side really we want to be with. Just 10 away wins in a year and a half under Carlos Carvajal. When you consider how many they've been winning generally, that isn't the most impressive record. Except now, there is a little bit of form appearing for Sheffield Wednesday on the road. They drew, of course, against Fulham, they beat Wolves, and of course beat Newcastle last time out, most impressively. They pushed Reading. Reading, of course, only broke through in the 60th minute and lost 2-1 at the Medeski, a place where, at the moment, barely anyone, other than, of course, luckily Villa, win. And, well, quite frankly, Wednesday, I think, are becoming slightly more backable on the road. The other issue is Preston. Now, Preston are lacking a few goals, and that might sound strange for a side who've scored 4-2. But you can't always rely on the talented Daniel Johnson. Jermaine Beckford has been sent off yet again, this time against his former club Leeds. And it just feels like Preston are on the edge of a little bit of bad form. I mean, for example, they've won just 1 of their last 5 home games and have won 2 games in all, well, home and away, since the 5th of November. Now, the fact is that Simon Grayson continues to do an exceptional job. If Preston were offered 13th this season, they would bite your hand clean off your wrist. But I think there's a little bit of something appearing with Wednesday now, and 17-10 is a very, very decent price for Wednesday to, in fact, beat Preston, of course, something they did back on the 3rd of December when we had that craziness between Doyle and Beckford, and, of course, before that, the red card for Fernando Forestieri as well. Speaking of Forestieri, he scored in that game, of course, and Forestieri is always the man you want to be with for Sheffield Wednesday. He's 9-5. Anytime Fletcher, who of course scored away from home quite recently and scored in that game as well, is 9-5. And if you really want to go for broke, then Glenn Lovens, the man who scored the winner against Newcastle, is 12s. But ultimately, really, for me, Sheffield Wednesday are definitely the play to beat Preston at 17-10. So my nap. Yeah, not very hard this week, really, is it? Not very hard at all, because Reading are 9-5. I'm afraid to say that Reading 9-5 against anyone should be considered. Yes, Fulham battered them, but that was at Craven Cottage, and it was an off day for Reading. If you're offering me right now 9-5 on Reading, just like the 19-10 I got on them to beat Norwich, there is no question, I bite your hand off. You tell me it's a Medeski, I bite your legs off, your head off, and any other part of you I can get a hold of. The fact of the matter is that my nap of the week, very obviously, comes on the 30th of December at 8 p.m, and that's Reading at 9-5 to beat Fulham.
As we get ready to bid farewell to 2016 and head into 2017, here are my three favourite shouts for League One action on Saturday, the 31st of December. One of these games gets underway at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and that is Southend. I really like them to beat Charlton. Southend are 6-4. They're on good form, home and away. 11-5 for the draw. Charlton are 19-10. Southend are scoring plenty of goals. The interesting thing with Southend, they've won the last 3 games straight, but their last 3 victories at home, Southend, they've scored 3 every single time. 3-0 against Bradford, 3-1 against Coventry, and 3-0 against Wimbledon, with Will Atkinson scoring from midfield. Have a look at him to score any time. He's been pretty prolific at Rootshall from midfield. And Charlton away from home, their last 2 defeats, they've conceded 3. Lost 3-0 at Swindon and lost 3-1 at Millwall. So Southend win, they score 3. Charlton lose, they concede 3. So you are looking at Southend and over 2.5 goals, but I just like Southend
at 6-4 to beat Charlton. Into the 3 o'clock kickoffs, I like Fleetwood. I'm sticking with them, even though they let me down against Bury. Always going to happen, that was. I sensed that. With Bury not picking up a point for 3 months and then getting a point away at Fleetwood. I think Fleetwood are going to bounce back from that by beating Oldham. Oldham are difficult to dispatch. Oldham proved that at Sheffield United. Oldham and unders tends to land quite a lot, and the draw could be a play here at 9-4, but I think Fleetwood are going to bounce back from that disappointing draw against Bury, and I think they're going to fight their way up towards the playoffs with a victory at home to Oldham, who are still struggling and have been all season. Fleetwood and overs is a play because of what they do at home when they do win. It tends to be overs, but I just like Fleetwood at evens. And my third and final shout and my nap selection is Peterborough at 17-20 to beat Coventry. Peterborough played Gillingham fairly recently. It was end-to-end stuff. Surprisingly, there was only 2 goals and Gillingham equalised late on to get a point at Peterborough. And Peterborough tend to not go more than a game or two without winning at home. And in come Coventry, who are really seriously struggling on the road. This could be their fifth defeat on the road. Russell Slade took over and promptly lost 4-1 at Bristol Rovers. I don't think he's got the time to turn it around and make Coventry more solid at the back. So I'm going for Peterborough and over 2.5 goals. But just Peterborough at 17-20 to finish off my League One. Okay, so my bets are Southend to beat Charlton, 1 o'clock kickoff at 6-4, Fleetwood at evens to beat Oldham, and Peterborough at 17-20 to beat Coventry. Add that all up, that's my nap selection, the Peterborough shout. It is 8.25 to 1.
Sometimes you look at the fixtures and you know there's going to be a detailed examination before you even find a good price. Even just a quick scan of the prices for the final fixtures of 2016 have thrown up 5 that automatically look like great picks. The hard part here is going to be whittling down that 5-3. So here's my long list. We'll start with Wickham. They're coming off a draw at then leaders Plymouth. That was a creditable way, though, to end a run of 8 straight wins. And they are 6-4 to win at a second bottom Cheltenham side. They've only won 2 games all season at home and have lost 5 of their last 6. So that's one. Elsewhere, out of form Mansfield have just 1 point from their last 4 games, and they are hosting leaders Doncaster, who have 6 wins in 7. The only other game being against then leaders Plymouth. Doncaster find themselves odds against at 23-20. They go into the pile. Twice already I've used the phrase then leaders Plymouth. That's because of that strange 3-game wobble last month mostly. 7 points from their 3 league games since, including a mentioned win over current leaders Doncaster and last week's draw against that Wickham juggernaut. Plus the fact that this week Plymouth are at home, and who's coming to town? It's a Crawley side with a recent away form of 8 defeats in 9. So to find Plymouth at 7-10 looks like a stick on. They go in. Exeter, they're away at bottom club Newport. Newport, of course, just the 1 draw in their last 7 and have lost the rest, including the FA Cup replay from that 1 draw. They've won just 6 points at home all season and 11 away. Exeter are the only team with a worse home record this season, but they go to Newport with one of the best away records in the division. 7 wins in their 12 away games, plus the fact they're in a bit of a purple patch themselves. 5 unbeaten home and away. Exeter 8-5 go into the pile. Those, by the way, have all been rotated around, but fairly regular picks for the podcast over recent months. Here's one that hasn't, to end with: Cambridge. Another side in a purple patch with a good away record, heading to a side in a real rut and with poor home form. That's Leighton Orient, who've lost 9 of the 12 on their own patch. They have won the last 2 there, but Accrington and Crawley, not wins you can read too much into. Accrington have failed to score in their last 5 away in League 2. Crawley have 8 defeats in 9. This is Cambridge. This is a different kettle of fish. They should be far too strong for Orient. 5 straight Cambridge away wins, conceding just 3 while scoring 13. 5 straight wins in League 2 as well, home and away. 6-4, too big a price. So here is the 5 long-listed teams. Wickham, comparatively poor away form along with Aaron Pierre's suspension at the back, and Cheltenham's occasional nicking of unlikely draws means I will take them out for the treble purposes. Doncaster, they will also suspension-wise be missing the hugely influential James Coppinger, so that and the shorter price means I'll also remove them, and it leaves the final treble of Plymouth 7-10, Cambridge 6-4, Exeter 8-5. That is 10.05-1. I can't see a way that Plymouth failed to win, so they have to be the nap this week. But hey, I did mention it was the last bet of the calendar year, so you could always put William Hill's new Acca 5 promotion to work with a League 2 fivefold of Wickham, Doncaster, Cambridge, Plymouth and Exeter if you're feeling lucky at 58.4-1.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.